pinch this off you, Kelvin. Well, how are we all doing? There will be no trick questions today. How are you all doing? Good. Wasn't that wonderful? Just to see Leighton and Sarah and their children just stand up and watch them just... Sorry, I'm going to just make sure I don't get on any clips yet later by standing on your guitar. Watch them stand up and dedicate their children, Rhiannon, Caris, Mary and Sean, and maybe even their fifth child, Marie. Sorry, Pete. To the Lord. I couldn't resist, Pete, sorry. And basically, what we did was we witnessed them dedicating themselves to fulfilling the responsibilities of parenthood and to instructing them in the ways of Christ, doing all of this in Christian love. And I just love it. I think church is all about families. And you know, I believe, and you saw that verse there, that our God has a real special place in his heart for children and for families. And I just love these kinds of services. So what I want to do is just spend a few minutes today. It won't be long, I promise you. It may seem long, but it won't be long. Just looking at this topic of dedication and actually what it means to be dedicated. And what I need to do, using technology, if I don't flick this on, we'll get nowhere, is just look at this whole subject of dedication and being dedicated. So hopefully, there we go. Two dictionary definitions for you. Dictionary says, dedication is the act of devoting or setting aside yourself for a particular purpose. Or another dictionary says, self-sacrificing devotion to a cause. And being dedicated is being wholly committed to something, to be set apart or reserved for a specific use or purpose. You know, it's a term we use quite often. You hear on the radio, reading the papers, see on the TV, statements made about people, perhaps obituaries that talk about how so-and-so dedicated their life to something. And I just picked three examples off the internet as I was preparing this, just to give you three quick examples. This first one I found is a head teacher, actually, in Porth. Whoa. Don't click on things, Mark. Head teacher in Porth, and you won't be able to read it, but this is Mr. Jones, head teacher in Porth, died at the age of 90. He dedicated his life to proving to Rhonda boys that academic success was not impossible. It goes on to say, something which the sons of minors had previously dismissed as unattainable. So Mr. Jones dedicated his life to the education of those boys. Completely different example, a guy called John Jodfrey, I just found, it's no particular reasons. He's actually lived in Nova Scotia in Canada and was the son of one of the wealthiest and most powerful families in Canada. And he devoted, as you can see from the headline, his life to the family empire. Their business was a paper and pulp company, and he spent his life to preserving and building that family business. And at the other end of the spectrum, here are three young girls, only age 9, twin girls, Lily and Audrey, who've already decided that they're going to dedicate their life to cooking, something which is near and dear to the heart of my oldest daughter, who I could almost see dedicating her life to baking. So three very different examples of children or people who've dedicated their lives. But there's a question I really want to ask you today, which is this. What have you dedicated your life to? What have you dedicated your life to? Now, when I say that, you might immediately have thought, aha, I know, I've dedicated my life to X, or I've dedicated my life to this. I don't know, you may be one of those people who's thought that through. On the other hand, you may be one of those people who've just sort of, when I said it, they went, well, you know, I don't really know. I'm sort of one of those people who rolls with the punches. You know, my philosophy in life is whatever life throws at me, I'm going to make the best of, and I'm just going to roll with it and see what happens. I don't know. That may be where you're at, or you may really know what you're doing. But I'm willing to bet that whichever of those types you are, you've probably gone through your life, and as you've gone through life, you sort of formed some opinions of what life's about. Your philosophy in life, how to get through life, whatever it may be. See if you recognize any of these thoughts. A number of them are taglines. Quite a few have actually made it onto famous bumper stickers. I sort of like the one, "He who dies with the most toys wins," is one you've seen quite a lot. Some of them are quite cynical, so you could argue, I think, that "he who dies with the most toys wins." I hope it's not serious, but I don't know. Maybe some people adhere to that as a philosophy in life. Some are quite humorous. I love this one. "Say no to negativity." That appeals to my sense of humor, I've got to admit. And some are quite serious. "Being successful in life doesn't matter. Being significant does." One for today: "Happiness is being a father. Happiness is being a mother." So a variety of thoughts that maybe have influenced your life, maybe certainly have influenced others and influenced your approach to life. But I come back to my question again. What have you dedicated your life to today? Take a look at this video. As Christians, that's what we believe, that my life and your life was created for a purpose. It's not simply about rolling with the punches and getting our way through life. We were each created for a purpose. And the Bible makes it very clear that we were actually created for three things. The first was to have a relationship with God. The second is to be part of a body of believers, the church. And that's why a number of us are here today, is we're part of this church. And the third is to make a difference in the community in which we live and to have a positive effect on the community around us. And those three goals are very much a part of what we're about as a church. And those three reasons are the reasons why Jesus came 2,000 years ago and he lived on this earth and why he gave his life on the cross. So that I and you may be able to have a relationship with him and have purpose in our lives today. Jesus dedicated his life to that cause. That was why he came. In fact, he said this. What an amazing statement. He talks about having real and eternal, so that's now and in the future, life. And he goes on beyond that. He talks about having a better life than you or I could ever have dreamed of. I mean, that is a bold statement. But you know what? I believe it's a promise too. That's what Jesus promised to those who follow him. That doesn't mean that Christian life is a bed of roses. Or as Forrest Gump famously said, a box of chocolates. We know it's not. Christians don't have life any easier than any others. We know that life is difficult at times. However, it does mean this, that those who follow Jesus and his way of living will have a fulfilled and meaningful life. See, people often think that the Christian life is boring. And I will admit that sometimes there are some Christians who do their best to persuade people that's the case. I wasn't going to say that, but there you go. But it's not. Christianity isn't about a series of don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other. Actually, Jesus talks, in a different version of the Bible, he talks about having life in abundance. Abundant life. And you know, that's my personal experience, and I know it's the experience of a number of others sitting in this room. Many in this room will testify to the abundant life that Jesus brings. And I love the phrase, and I got my pen out, and to be fair on Pete, to give him a positive now, I picked this up when Pete said this. He said, Leighton and Sarah are standing here today, and they're choosing to let God have a say in their lives and the lives of that child and their children. Why? Because their experience is that with God, there is real life. You see, what Jesus is talking about when he talks about Christianity and life is Christianity living with God moment by moment. Christianity isn't a hobby. I'm glad Nigel's here because he'll disprove this straight away. I call myself a golfer. Nigel laughs when he sees my golf swing. I call myself a golfer, and I would say I'm a golfer. But the reality is, you know, that I haven't picked up a golf club and been out on the golf course since last August. I worked out when I was preparing this. And that's due to the busyness of my life and all the other things going on. But I would still say I'm a golfer. Being a Christian, and I'm a Christian, is not like that. It's not one of those things I can just pick up and lay down again as busy life takes over and as life dictates. Being a Christian is a lifestyle. It's a moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day relationship with God who can give us abundant life. That's what life's about. Now, what I also find interesting is that when we get to the end of our life, often folks look back on their life when they know they're dying and they take a sober look at how well they think they've lived their life. And as I was preparing this, I found this story in The Guardian, not a paper I particularly read, I will say, but I found this in The Guardian. This is a nurse who worked with the dying, and for some reason, she decided she was going to record what folks said when they were knowing they were reaching the end of their life. And this article was about the top five regrets of the dying, and I'm just going to share it with you. So what was the first one? The first one was people said, I wish I'd had the courage to live a true life to myself, not the life others expected of me. She said, this was the most common regret of all, when people realize that their life is almost over and look back clearly on it, it's easy to see how many dreams have gone unfulfilled. Most people had not honored even half of their dreams and had to die knowing that it was due to choices they had or hadn't made. The second one, working too hard for no lasting benefit. She said, this came from every male patient I nursed. They missed their children's youth and their partner's companionship. She said, women also spoke of this regret, but as many were for an older generation, many of the female patients had not been bred with us. All of the men I nursed deeply regretted spending so much of their lives on the treadmill of a work existence. On the treadmill of a work existence. Third one, not having courage to express my feelings. Many people suppress their feelings in order to keep peace with others. As a result, they settle for a mediocre existence, never became who they were truly capable of becoming, and many even developed illnesses relating to the bitterness and resentment they'd carried as a result. Fourth one, I should have stayed in touch with my friends. She said, often they would not truly realize the full benefits of old friends until their dying weeks, and it was not always possible to track them down. Many had become so caught up in their own lives, they'd let golden friendships slip by over the years. There were so many deep regrets about not giving friends the time and effort they deserved. And finally, surprisingly, or not, I wish I'd let myself be happier. She said, this is a surprisingly common one. Many did not realize until the end that happiness is a choice. Fear of change had them pretending to others and to themselves that they were content, when deep within, they longed to laugh properly and have silliness in their life again. Just various observations from people as they were close to their death. And, you know, coming back to this statement about Jesus intended us to have life and life in its fullness, what I want to do as we close, and you'd be delighted to know we're coming to the end, is that I wanted to look at what Jesus himself had to say as he knew his life was coming to an end. And four out of these five statements I'm going to share with you are actually taken from pretty much the last recorded conversations that Jesus had with his best mates, the disciples, at the time when he was telling them that he was about to go to the cross and suffer horrendous death. And I just want to contrast the regrets of these folks with what Jesus talked about life and what life means. So the first one, the regrets about not living a life true to ourselves. Jesus said, you may have life and have it to the full. We've already talked about that verse. Jesus talked about having an abundant life. And if you want a life that is true to yourself, I'll tell you what, there is no better way to live life than in accordance with the purposes of the one who created you in the first place. We believe God created you. You heard those verses that Joe read out about being knitted together in the mother's womb. And God has a purpose for each of your lives. He knows your heart's desires. He knows your personalities. He knows your abilities. And if you want a life that makes the most use of your personalities, your skills, and your desires, then that life is walking a life with God. The second one, working too hard for no lasting benefit. Jesus promises, if you live a life in relationship with him and according to him, you will bear much fruit. You will bear fruit. Fruit not only in this life, but fruit for the future. If you want to be at the end of your life looking back and having had a positive effect in your life and the positive effect on your friends and your family, then Jesus says, the life you live with me will bear fruit. Not having to express my feelings. Jesus never had a problem with that. Jesus said, love each other as I have loved you. He talked about Christians having the same kind of love for each other that he had for us, that God has for us. Forgiveness, sharing together, loving each other. I should have stayed in touch with my friends. Here is an amazing statement when you realize who's saying this. This is the Son of God. This is God talking about you and I. I call you friends. If your view of God is someone who sits on high and judges you, who counts what you do right and counts what you do wrong, or doesn't want to be involved in your life, God calls you his friend. That's the kind of relationship he wants with you, a relationship as friends. And even more than that, the expanded version of this says, greater love has no man than he lay down his life for his friends. If you doubt how much God loves you, Jesus gave his life as the ultimate sign of his desire to have a relationship with you and his desire to want to be a friend. And finally, if you want to be happy, Jesus says, my joy is in you and your joy may be complete. You can have joy being a Christian. Smile. You don't have to be boring. So if you want a life that when it comes to an end is not full of regrets, then actually the Christian life, maybe surprisingly, is one that you can have in abundance, one where you can bear fruit, one where you can experience being loved and what it means to love and care for others, a life full of friends, and a life full of joy. Maybe that doesn't sound like the Christian life you walked in expecting, but that's what Jesus says is life with him. And you know, Christians over 2,000 years have found that to be true in their lives. And it may be surprising again that claims that were made 2,000 years ago are remarkably relevant when you compare what Jesus said with the regrets of those who were dying. Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. So I'm going to leave you with one last question. This time, it's not my question. I believe it's a question God asks each and every one of us. And it's this. Will you dedicate your life on earth to him today? And you won't lose out by doing that. you will only gain. Thanks for listening.
As the musicians come up and prepare themselves for the last song, just thank you, Mark, for that. I just wonder if we could just pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we do acknowledge tonight, Lord, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you come to bring us life and life to the full. And Lord, I just pray that as that question was posed right at the end there, Lord, that you would do something with it within our hearts and within our minds. That, Lord, you'd prompt us throughout this week to just think about it. And help us, Lord, to if we need to make a decision about it, Lord, to do that. Amen.
Well, our final hymn song tonight is a song that's probably more in keeping or more well thought of as being sung at the Millennium Stadium or before that, the National Stadium or before that, the Arms Park. Song, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. For us, apologies to any non-Welsh people here, usually sung when we're anticipating Wales scoring more tries and feed me till I want no more. It usually means give us more points. But actually, if you look at the words, it's a song of dedication. It's about recognizing the fact that we are weak and God is mighty, and we're asking him to hold us in his powerful hands. Let's stand to sing as we finish. Guide me,